This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. We thank you for being with us today. President Donald Trump likes to praise his own decision to tap former Indiana Governor Mike Pence as vice president as one of his very best decisions. And after the duo's first week in office here, a picture of their relationship and the power structure between them is starting to emerge.
But I can already tip you off. President Trump is going to keep his promise to the American people, and he's going to nominate a strict constructionist to the Supreme Court in the tradition of the late and great Justice Antonin Scalia.
That's Mike Pence speaking to congressional Republicans at their retreat on Thursday in Philadelphia. And today in Washington is the annual March for Life, the gathering of anti-abortion activists. They'll march to the Supreme Court as they do near every anniversary of the 1974 Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion. Vice President Mike Pence will speak, and that will make him the highest ranking government official to ever appear in front of the March for Life crowd. Other GOP presidents, vice presidents have phoned it in or sent it in at least via video, but not Mike Pence. Pence has a long career as an avid supporter of social conservative and Christian issues and politics. And really, it's an event that Mike Pence was made for in his political career. And it's one that Donald Trump needs. Trump has represented a lot of things to a lot of people. But when he started running for president in the Republican Party, one of us was not the term most Christian conservatives were using.
I'm very pro-choice. I hate the concept of abortion. I hate it. I hate everything it stands for. I cringe when I listen to people debating the subject. But I just believe in choice.
That's Donald Trump in 1999 when he was independent-minded. Here is President Trump on 60 Minutes right after the election.
I'm pro-life. The judges will be pro-life.
A huge part of Mike Pence's job is to reconcile those two Donald Trumps for millions of American conservatives. Maureen Grappi is a reporter for the Indianapolis Star's Washington Bureau, and she spoke with former Indiana Governor, now Vice President Mike Pence, just last week. And he told her that it's Donald Trump who will serve as the champion for pro-life activists over the next 4 years.
This is one of the reasons that he was chosen for the ticket, because of how well he's thought of among social conservatives, as well as others in the Republican establishment and activist groups. And this is an issue that he's been active on for a long time. He was a regular speaker to the march when he was a member of Congress, and this is an issue that's very important to him.
It's always a question, and there's always a dance about the role of a vice president and how much power they have in relation to any president. It's early, but is there any evidence yet about Mike Pence's true portfolio and his true influence over a boss and a president like Donald Trump?
As you said, it's early, and of course, we don't know what goes on in the inner circle, but there's a lot of speculation that he could play a very influential role for two reasons. One, the power of the vice president at that job has expanded since Walter Mondale's days and has continued to grow. And secondly, President Trump is the first president who comes into the office with no governing or military experience. And one reason, as I said, Mike Pence was chosen is he has these ties to these establishment groups, to activist groups. And of course, he was a member of Congress. So he knows Washington. He knows the groups. He knows the players. He knows the policy. Yesterday, when he spoke at the Congressional Republican retreat, House Speaker Paul Ryan called him the glue that's going to keep everything together. So he could play a very influential role. We'll see whether that happens. A lot of that will depend on how successful he is or how successful Donald Trump perceives him to be in that role. He himself will demur. He doesn't want to seem like he's out front, he's in front of the president. So he talks about himself playing a supporting role, supporting the president. And when I asked him specifically about this issue, because he had promised to be a champion for social conservatives in the White House, he said that Donald Trump will be their champion, and his role is to help Trump sell his agenda to the public, to Congress, and to groups.
So how important is Mike Pence's role as emissary to Christian conservatives or even makeover artist for Donald Trump? Christian conservative voters have been skeptical of the president since day one, and that's a huge part of Mike Pence's role here.
That's right. They were very skeptical of him, and they were very pleased when Donald Trump chose Mike Pence to be his running mate. They know his track record. They know that faith is central to who he is. They know he likes to speak about these things and has pushed these issues. He was an early leader in Congress in efforts to try to stop federal funding from going to Planned Parenthood, not for abortions because that's not allowed, but he has argued that Planned Parenthood shouldn't receive federal funding for other services for low-income women because it also provides abortion services. So they are very excited that he was chosen, and the organizers of this march are very excited that he's going to be speaking there. They feel like that's going to give them extra energy to carry out their mission.
One of the only groups in the election, Maureen, that Donald Trump didn't attack was LGBTQ people. Meanwhile, Mike Pence is infamous in that community for signing policies widely viewed as discriminatory and legalizing discrimination in Indiana. Is there any tension there in the relationship between Pence and President Trump, or in the way that conservative voters perceive them?
I don't know if there's any tension between the two of them. This is certainly an issue that if people don't know much about Mike Pence, and a lot of people didn't before he was chosen, this is an issue that quickly came to the foreground and that people associate him with. This was a major controversy that he had to deal with as governor when he signed into law what was called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which critics said would allow businesses to discriminate against gays and lesbians, for example, not refusing to sell them a wedding cake or cater to a gay wedding. He denied that that was the case, but after there was a significant backlash in the state, particularly from businesses who were worried about what image this would create for Indiana and make it harder for them to attract and keep employees, he agreed to make some changes to the law, and that satisfied both sides. The social conservatives thought he was caving when he shouldn't have, and the other side didn't think he'd gone far enough. They wanted him to support legislation that would specifically prevent discrimination of gays and lesbians.
Maureen Grappi, you know, I had a source in Pennsylvania that I have to tell you about, very much pro-Trump before the election, say to me that many, many pastors and congregation members, evangelical Christians, were expressing a belief that God put Donald Trump into the race in order to deliver Mike Pence to the White House, and that in this person's words, Donald Trump would be eliminated to enable a Mike Pence presidency. Now, I'm not advocating that in any way, of course, but relaying to you what Christian voters and pastors in Pennsylvania were saying to each other and to themselves when they were voting for Donald Trump. It's remarkable.
There are many people who were not comfortable with voting for Donald Trump and felt like they could vote for the ticket because of Mike Pence, whether that's because I don't know how many of them thought that Mike Pence had a good chance of actually becoming president, but they certainly felt more comfortable with the ticket and felt like they had a reason to vote for it as opposed to just a reason to vote against Hillary Clinton.
So what will be true success for Mike Pence when this is over in 4 or 8 years, assuming he isn't the next president as vice president now? Let's assume this is the pinnacle of his political career. What is success at the end of this? Is it the reversal of Roe v. Wade?
Well, that's certainly one of his goals. He has said that he would like to see that Roe v. Wade go on the ash heap of history. And he's obviously a very strong social conservative, but he's also he was also a very strong economic conservative, too. So he's been active on both issues. But at times when those two areas have come into conflict, he's made it clear where his priority is. He said that America's darkest moments have come when economic arguments have trumped moral principles. But he would like to see this country move in a much more conservative direction in both areas.
Maureen Grappi, Indianapolis Star, Washington Bureau reporter. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.